Good morning. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and then Mark? As you find that, I want to share with you this morning a message that will encompass where we're headed at the close of the service. If you didn't notice when you came in, you can notice now that the tables around the room prepared for the Lord's Supper. We realize that the Lord's Supper is a covenant. It's in part of the agreement with the Lord our God. It's a symbol. The Lord's Supper is a symbol. And have you ever wondered why some symbols seem to catch on? Now, am I a little loud or are y'all okay? A little loud? I thought it sounded, did it bring me down just a bit there? And that way I can kind of emphasize too, because you know, I've never been told, Pastor, you're too quiet. I don't ever remember that. All right, is that a little better? Excellent, thank you. It sounded a little hot. Symbols. Have you ever wondered why some of them kind of catch on and some of them don't? And I wonder if you've ever thought about the fact that very few actually work. There have been a lot of people who tried to get symbols to work. And not only are there very few that work, but there are even fewer that transcend that generation. But some of them have. Let me see if you can recognize some of these symbols. And if you recognize it, just go ahead. Just shout it out loud. Here's the first one. Ah, there we go. Now, how do you know that's a Coca-Cola and not a Pepsi? You just know it's there. Go. Next one. America. I like that. The next one. Now, some of you younger ones probably don't know what that is, but there's a few of us others who do, right? All right. And this one? The rainbow. By the way, this was established by God as a covenant and a promise between God and man that he would never destroy the earth by water again. And like a lot of other things, Satan tries to steal it to mean something else. Let me just tell you, this is a symbol that we use and we can continue to use it. And don't let somebody steal it from us. Amen? Amen. Now, how about this one coming up? Now, this is going to be a symbol. I want to see if you recognize this symbol. Anybody? Nobody. Okay, let me just tell you, this was a symbol that was used in the first century. When the church was first established, this symbol was used by Christians who were being persecuted all across the Asia, all across Asia. Let me just put it that way. And what they would do is if they began to speak with someone and they thought that just from their manner that they might be a Christian. And you've done that, haven't you? Have you gone somewhere and it just seemed like you met a stranger and before long you just knew that they were a Christian. Amen? You felt that spirit? You felt that? Well, what they would do is they would, in the dirt, they would take their toe and they would just draw a little arc that looked just like that. And if the other person was a Christian, they had a secret symbol that they would know that they were a Christian if the other person would do the same thing. And it formed what we call the ichthus, which in Greek, of course, you know, the fish symbol is what we call it, or the Jesus symbol, or the Jesus fish. A lot of us do. But that's where the ichthus came from. It was an ark put in the dirt, then the other person would do the same. Are you with me? That way they would know, oh, it's kind of like the secret handshake. All right, all right. This next symbol, surely you know this one, amen? This symbol, dear friend, is one that if it doesn't stir your heart, there's something wrong. There's another symbol I want to begin talk about today, and that's the American flag. I am thankful for those who have given us the freedom by giving of their lives and by giving of their time and serving our country, men and women. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who have, and for those of you who had families who did. Many were lost. Many came back not the same. Amen? We need to continue to pray for them, for our veterans, those who gave their life in the ultimate fashion, and for those who gave their life in the time they were there. What a blessing to have people who love their country. I want to talk to you about the United States flag for just a moment. I think it's important because, you see, it's a symbol. And I've got one right here. This one belongs to Mrs. Sawyer in memory of her precious husband. She let me borrow it this morning as a reminder. And this flag is representative of his country's thanksgiving, and from the President of the United States was given to her for her precious soldier. The United States flag is a symbol, folks. And I want you to think this. I want you to stay with me. We're going to move from the flag to something much more important. But the flag is important to me. The United States flag, the 4th of July that we just celebrated this last week, we call it the U.S. flag. It has some other names. Old Glory, the Stars and Stripes, the Star Spangled Banner. And it has stood as a symbol of freedom since 1777. It's changed a little since then. But folks, it has stood as a symbol of the freedom of these United States. And its design encompasses our nation's history. Now, you may not know this, but many of you do, that its design and even its colors incorporate our nation's ideals and patriotism. The 50 stars that are on our current United States flag represents the original 50 states or the last 50 states of the Union. It has 13 stripes. Anybody remember what they stand for? They were stood for the original 13 colonies. Even the colors were important because, you see, red was the color that represented hardiness, valor, courage, a readiness to sacrifice. And, of course, it is also said often that it represents the blood that was shed by those who have fought to protect our freedom and our country. Blue signifies justice for all, vigilance, perseverance. It's a reminder, dear folks, that we are to remain watchful and strong to protect our freedom. White. The color white stands for purity and for innocence. Pure because we know we are not a pure of thought and mind, not in moral in any way are we pure. We want to be, we strive to be, but that's what it says. We strive for a purity, but also a purity in country, that we are to be independent from other countries without having to depend on them nor have to yield to them. No matter who influences us, we're to stay independent so that we might hold true to our ideals. Does that make sense to you? Folks, the next time you see the flag unfurled, I want you to think of its symbolism and of its meaning. Good symbols are not easy to explain in a few words. I've taken a lot to explain the U.S. flag this morning. But when they're seen, good symbols stir something in our hearts. They stir something in our memory. And when the United States flag is unfurled, I wonder, have you ever experienced a feeling in your heart, a gladness, a pride, an emotion, a joy, or a grandeur? Listen, if not, I'm going to tell you, I think that you're poor. If you can't think of that and see that anymore about your country's flag, I'm going to say, I just feel a little sorry for you. I'm going to tell you, people today, they're teaching our younger generations that it's nothing. I'm going to tell you, it means something to me. It means something to many of us, and I pray that we'll be teaching our children and our grandchildren. As a matter of fact, I still have a problem with people who disrespect the flag. I go to a baseball game, and I used to go to a lot of them. And whenever they sang our national anthem, and they looked out to the flag, and if somebody was a football game or a baseball game or whatever it is, and there's a group of people just jabbering and talking and turning around, I walk over in the midst of them, and I sing just as loud as I can the Star Spangled Banner. Some appreciated it, some didn't. Maybe it was my singing. I don't know. A little boy asked his grandfather, when his grandfather saw the flag being brought down the street in a parade, his grandfather stopped, took off his hat, covered his heart. Tear came down his eyes, and the little fellow looked at his grandfather and he said, "Grandpa, what's wrong?" He goes, "Nothing's wrong." He said, "I just see the flag of my United States and it stirs my heart." And he goes, "Grandpa, why does it do that?" He said, What's the flag? Grandpa had an opportunity. And he said, "Son," he said, "I guess the flag is a lot of things, but it starts like this." He said, "The flag is a bit of cloth. It's a bit of love. It's a bit of blood. It's a bit of hope. And it's all woven together and crowned with stars. It's everything that we know this country to be and everything we expect it to be and everything that we hope and pray that it should be." You might say it's what we'd look like if this country was kind of all pressed together and you cut a slice right out of the middle. He said, "It probably looked just like the flag. It looked like us. It's a center slice of America, the way I hope that God would see it when he looks at it." I know that that's not the technical definition of the United States flag, but I like it. I thought Grandpa, whoever Grandpa was, did a good job with that, because it implies that the symbol and the reality are one. Are you with me on that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I know you're getting a bit of a U.S. history lesson here and a little bit of a sermon on, if you will, the beginning of our country. But folks, I want you to remember that we didn't come here for any other reason except that we might have freedom to worship and serve the God that we loved and worshiped and adored. That's the main reason they came. And that's why we're here, because we love the Lord our God and the freedom he's given us. You see, you cannot separate the symbol of the flag and America. And it would be a pity, I think it would be a terrible pity, if Americans couldn't feel somewhat of what that grandpa was saying when that flag is unfurled. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that agree, and you go, "Yes, I understand and I feel that some way." Some of you maybe not so much. But I want you to understand this. The best symbols are just that. Not just a mere lapel pin with banners and slogans and colors and flags, but they're ideas, if you will, that absolutely participate in the reality that they represent. And when you understand what the flag stands for, you understand what it represents. They kind of get all mixed up together, and that's why my heart grows with emotion when I see the American flag and I hear our national anthem played. You see, it's hard when I see the flag not to think of our United States and not to think of the prayer that it truly needs. And that's why, dear friends, I have a hard time with disrespect of our country and our flag. And I think we should. I'm going to move on, because you see, there's another symbol that I want to talk about this morning. One that's even far greater than our country and our flag, but the symbol of the cup. When you see a cup like this, I don't know what you think of, but I immediately think of a carpenter's cup that sat on a table some 2,000 years ago that was filled with wine. You see, it reminds me, every time I see a cup like this, I think of the Lord's Supper. I think of the cup of Christ. And the Lord's Supper, dear friends, is a symbol, just like all the other symbols we looked at before and many more. The Lord's Supper is a symbol, and it should evoke in you something more than just, "Oh, it's the Lord's Supper." Can you take a cross-cut section of what the Lord's Supper says to you and what it means from God's Word, and can you understand, does it draw out a response? The Lord's Supper is a symbol, but it's so much more. It goes all the way back to the night before Jesus Christ was crucified. The night before Jesus Christ was arrested, put on trial, falsely accused, beaten, drugged down the road with a cross on his back. That night, before all of that occurred, Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples. Remain seated for just a moment. Close your eyes, would you? Just close your eyes. Can you picture this? The disciples sitting around a table. The Lord Jesus taking bread and breaking it. The Lord Jesus taking the cup and telling his disciples, "This bread is my body that's broken for you. This cup is a new agreement in my blood." Can you see it? Listen, with your eyes closed, listen to this scripture from Mark chapter 14. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed and he broke it. And he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." You can join me back here now, because I don't know what kind of cup he had. Nobody knows for sure. Perhaps just a very simple wooden cup or pottery cup. But Scripture says that after the bread, he took the cup and it was filled with wine. And he told the disciples, he said, "All of you drink from this cup. It's a new covenant, a new arrangement with God, with God the Father, and it is going to be through my blood, my shed blood." Listen, it was a dramatic moment that those disciples would never forget, because this was not the normal and usual type of supper that they did during the Passover. I wonder what happened to that cup afterwards. I wonder if one of them grabbed it off the table as they were leaving and maybe dropped it in his knapsack before they headed off to the garden where the government guys found Jesus. I wonder if it was just left on the table there. Maybe afterwards, after Jesus was betrayed and arrested, maybe two or three of them or one of them ran back to get it. We don't know, but all kinds of legends have grown up around that cup. Have you heard them? I'm sure you have. A lot of legends grew up around that particular cup. One legend says this, that Joseph of Arimathea, who was a Jewish leader who had Jesus buried in his unused brand new tomb, some said that somehow between the time that the disciples had their Last Supper together and before Jesus was taken on the cross, that he went in and somehow got that cup and that he caught the blood of Jesus Christ at the bottom of the cross. That's certainly not in Scripture. That's why we call it legend. But that he somehow took it to Britain, and that it got to Britain over the years, and that it was guarded by a succession of kings. And in the medieval days, it was King Arthur. You've heard those and seen those stories and told. It's been told in books and movies, and they called the cup the what? The Holy Grail. It was an object of the search of the famous knight Percival, you may recall, who in the English version was called Galahad. You've heard all that. You've heard those stories. But all of this is to say this, friend. One is truly poor in spirit and imagination if you can look at the cup of the cross, the cup of Jesus Christ, the cup of the remembrance of his blood being shed, his body being broken, and see absolutely no wonder, No excitement, no feeling. If there's not a stirring inside of you when you see the symbol of the Lord's Supper of Jesus Christ, you have lost so much. If you can't hear the Savior say, I will always be with you, even to the end of the age, when you see this cup, you're not just poor in spirit, you're just poor. This cup is so much more than a symbol. Because you see, Jesus gave it as more than a symbol. Did you know that Christ Jesus, God the Father, gave you this symbol not only as a symbol, but as an offering? This is an offering from God. This cup is an offering from God. A covenant that embraces us, binds us together, empowers us. And I'm going to tell you, it would be an absolute pity if you missed the picture of Jesus standing by that table and handing the disciples this cup. It's also, I believe, not only an offering from God, but I believe that it is an injury to the Spirit of God the Father when it is disrespected. And that's why I brought about the understanding of the flag, because I want to tell you that just as many of us are offended when people disrespect our country and disrespect our flag, how much more right God has when the Lord's Supper is disrespected, when it's taken in a manner that is unworthy, when it's taken flippantly, when you do it and you don't think about what its meaning really is. You are truly poor if you don't have that really special feeling from deep down inside when you approach the table of the Lord and partake of the cup of Christ. I wonder if how Grandpa described the flag, if he could put in some imagery what the cup would mean. Perhaps it would be something like this. Maybe you would say, oh, me. Young'un, this is the most special cup in all the world. Not because the cup is special, but because of what it means and because of what it represents. When you look inside that cup, you know what you see? Love. You see love because that juice in there represents the blood of Jesus Christ. If you look deeper, use your imagination just a little bit, you can see three men on a cross. And that one in the middle is the most beautiful man you've ever seen in your life because he's the Son of God. And he's smiling. Even though he's on the cross, he's smiling. And he's smiling at you. Do you know why he's smiling at you? Because he knows that as you take that cup, you're remembering him. And you're making a covenant with him. He knows that he's going to live in you. And you know that even after you die, there's a bond between you and him that will never cease. And that you will get to live with him forever and ever and ever. And as long as you do, he wants you to remember what he's done for you. My question for you this morning, will you let the cup be that kind of symbol for you? Would you bow your head now? Close your eyes if you would, just kind of shut out the rest of the world so that nothing disturbs you, nothing distracts you. Would you let this cup mean that for you this morning? Would you echo this prayer? Pray this with me, won't you? Open our eyes, dear Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, help us to see more deeply the meaning of your life, and the meaning of your death and the incredible sacrifice that you made through your gift of love on the cross. Help us, Lord, to see our part of this remembrance. God, to remember your personal sacrifice when we see the cross. The blood that had to be shed for us so that our sins could be forgiven. Your broken body that paid the price for my sin. And God, remind us, Lord, of our own personal sacrifice that needs to be made. The sacrifice of our love to be given to others and to you. A sacrifice of commitment. A sacrifice of obedience and rightly judging our hearts, Lord, as we partake of this cup so that we don't take of it unworthily. Father, continue with us. Even as we start together and we see this symbol and we break this bread and we take this cup, God, we pray that it would be a transformation of our hearts. Renew our fellowship to one another. For Father, how can we say that we're loving you when we're angry with our family, our church family? Change our hearts, Lord. Renew our fellowship with you and with each other. We ask and pray for this through your precious Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.